You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back here live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We have another great show for you tonight. You know, we're exploring love. What is love? You know, who can you love, and what does it mean to be truly in love? You know, later on, I'm going to give you some secret tips on how to really understand if you're in love, what true love is, and how to maximize what you have going on in your life. Joining us tonight, Derek Anthony, country singer with a new release that I can't wait to hear here, that you will hear tonight here live, and I can't wait to hear that. So he's going to go on and talk about his perspectives as well on what love is to him. You know, I think that love has many definitions. I think it clearly defined by personal perspectives. You know, is love an intense feeling of deep affection? Is it fondness? Is it tenderness? Is it endearment? Is it intimacy, right? Is it attachment? Passion? Is it doting? I love that word, doting. Is it devotion? Is it infatuation, desire, lust, or is it just yearning? I don't know. What is love? Bill, good night. How you doing?
Hey, doing pretty good. I feel great. You're not feeling so hot tonight. Sorry to hear about that.
As I came in here with my Pepto-Bismol, yeah. We're not going to talk about that and my cold rag.
But you're a champ, though, Ashley. Show must go on, even if you don't feel well. So thanks for not disappointing our listeners tonight.
Man, I'm in it to win it.
That's the name of the game.
What do you think love is, Bill? How would you define it?
Well, I mean, everything you just said. I mean, love could be defined as all of the above. And I think it also depends upon the person or thing, I guess, that you are expressing that love for. I mean, there's romantic love, there's friendship love, there's family love, and there's love of things. So I think it kind of depends upon the context and what you're putting it in.
I agree with you. That's good. And that's true. You can love, obviously, people. You can love animals. You can love things. And that's really awesome, because you can have, like, the love of music. You know, I think some people in this room has the love of music. Derek Anthony, glad you're joining us tonight. Right. How are you doing?
Yeah, great to be here. Very deep conversation. I love it.
Yay. Yes. The deeper, the better, we'd say, over here at Perspectives.
And I was thinking about the opening comments, and I think love is overused, and I think it's very generic. And to Bill's point, it just specifically, it's kind of like if you look at a pendulum, you have the love for your dog, but you have the love for the spouse or the love of your life. So the pendulum swings from left to right fairly significantly. And when I try to look at relationships, and i.e. writing a song, most of it's about the love of either the love of your life, or potentially, like you said, it could be music, it could be your car, it could be your job. Hopefully it's your job. Like, you asked what love is. I think love is doing a radio show when you're about sick and on your deathbed. That's what love is.
I mean, that is a really good point, Derek. I mean, Ashley loves this show and loves her listeners, and that's why she's here tonight. Yeah. So
true devotion. True devotion. My goodness, I still can't find that big bottle of Pepto. I really just can't find it. I've looked everywhere for it.
You love Pepto right now.
I love the color of pink. Pink is my favorite. Pink and what is it? Pink and what is it? My two favorite shades of pink. Pink. What is it? Pink and bashful. I can't remember what that was, but it was funny. I remember that was Julia Roberts. Still Magnolias, when she was picking out her two colors for the wedding. And they were like, it just looks like somebody threw a Pepto-Bismol all over in here. So funny. I agree that I think also, like you said, love is not really just a mere emotion to me. You know, I think to be in love, it's like a state of mind. Mm-hmm. I think that true love is in a state of mind, because I think when we love people, you know, you can love somebody in a relationship, you can love somebody, but I think if you go full circle around and you figure it all out and you start acting from the heart space, all of a sudden you love everybody and everything, and you can, you know, you love the lady, you know, the ladybug, you love the little, you know, the bird that scurries down the street, you love maybe your crotchety neighbor that, you know, has just got a little attitude, but you love them, you know? And yeah. I think that love can be very universal. I think it's really the only emotion that we truly have.
Well, and also I think there's different degrees of emotion, different intenseness. Like, for example, let's say, you know, Derek and you know, you've been in a relationship, obviously. You know, when you are first in that glow of the beginning stages of the relationship, there's this intense, you know, feeling. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm in love, you know?
The rookie years, I call them, yes.
And but over time, if we're
the
lucky
good
enough,
old days.
Yeah, the good old days. There you go. but over time, if we're lucky enough for the relationship to keep going, it's you know, the intenseness changes. It may go from, you know, kind of a roaring fire to kind of a smoldering, you know, flame. It's not that you don't love that person any less. It's just, you know, over time.
And as you, and I found, as you grow and grow older, you're obviously your ambitions and your demand or your drive in life changes. So you would hope that the people around you that love you and you love them also see that drive and that love for whatever that is. If it's work, if it's a new direction in life, if it's having a kid, whatever it might be. So to your point, Bill, is there is some different intensity with that. And if it is true love and you want to do it at all costs and make your significant other happy, then hopefully he or she reciprocates in that dream.
Well, I tell you what, and Derek, you know, I am so pleased that you're here tonight, because as a country artist, I mean, that's the bread and butter of country music, isn't it?
It is.
Love, you know, and
what about the dog and the train?
Well, that's country and western. We're just talking about country.
Yeah, there's
okay, so Ashley likes the country western, and, you know, like, I guess I'm always thinking about like David Allan Coe.
Uh-huh.
I know that's country western. Yeah. I get that. That's extreme other side. You know, Mama at the Train, you know.
And you didn't even call me by my name.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. But, no, I know. Like you just went to a concert. What concert was that, Bill?
The George Strait concert. Okay. His last concert on supposedly his last tour that he'll ever
Now, is he considered country?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And western.
And western?
Yes.
Okay, so, but, you know, for the love, so you love George Strait, right? You love his music or do you love him?
Well, I mean, I would say both.
He is a man crush.
I mean, but in different ways.
Ooh, man crush.
Hey, you know, man crush.
Romance!
I think all those men in that stadium has it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you got it, too. Yeah. You got it, too. Y'all got a hardcore, man. You're in love. No, but I understand. I mean, you respect somebody. I think that respect also translates into love a lot of times.
Absolutely.
George is one of those guys. Obviously, he's the king of country forever, but he's one of those guys that just stands on the stage and strums his guitar and sings a song.
And there's no glitz. Yes.
There's no glamour. If you look at a lot of the newer country acts and obviously pop, it's all about the glitz and the glamour. And these songs are becoming so digitalized and synthesized, and they're all synthetic, basically. Yes, there's musicians that play, but man, there's probably 30 or 40 tracks behind that that fill it up that are just tracks, and they're just digital files.
So, you know, and maybe we can get into this a little bit more in the show, Ashley, but, you know, regardless of whether it's music or a romantic relationship or friendship, I think there's a element of authenticity implied in the word love. And kind of just to finish what Derek's point is, you know, George Strait is authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Country as versus some of the, you know, acts that, you know,
like
Nashville.
The show is authentic. There's a lot of love put into it, and I think when people put a lot of love and a lot of talent and a lot of work and a lot of time into anything, whether it's crafting or honing you know, music or doing this show or just the love of a spouse and cultivating the relationship and being there 24/7 and, or, you know, taking care of the child and, you know, taking them to baseball practice or whatever it is and being there for them, I think that to me is definitely that. You know, I think that I was talking about how love is not merely an emotion, and I think that true love really is a state of mind. And I also think that when you say I'm in love, I believe that love is that state of mind that you can – it's deep. It's like deep stuff. You know, to live within the heart space means to love and to be love all the time, right? To love and to be love. So you actually are love as well. And whenever the outpouring of love, I don't know when that has ever been wrong. I don't know when it's ever been wrong to show love to another person. I don't know when it's ever been wrong. In an argument, you know, what wins out? You know, when dealing with difficult people and trying people, right? I mean, you can go one way and sit there and be like, I'm going to argue with you. You're an idiot, you know, what have you. But when you're dealing with others, let's say it's a fight, you know, it's not about winning or losing, right? It's really if one person doesn't choose love, it's really an ultimate loss. And I think it's not about winning the confrontation. I think it's not about winning the argument or looking better in front of a group of people. I think it's about being and doing the right thing. And I think when we show love, that takes everything out. I mean, there's nothing that can actually hold a candle to it. It's almost like when you play that paper, rock, scissors game when you're younger, and there was always the one that would always win and triumph over everything.
Yeah.
And you just go, why don't you just play that every time? Well, if you play the love card every time, right, you're always going to win. Okay? You're always going to win. It might not look like you win immediately because it could be an argument. It could be something that you basically stand back and say, I'm going to show love and I'm just going to walk out of this gracefully. But in the end, guess what? You did win. And it's not about winning, right? It's about loving. So when Perspectives returns, we're exploring whom can you love? What can you love? And what does it mean to truly be in love? And I think this is going to be a great show. Bill, Derek, and I know it is, and we can't wait to talk more about it. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. A glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And we're exploring love on tonight's show. If you're just tuning in, we've been discussing what love is. We're now beginning our exploration into who you can love and what does it mean to truly be in love. You know, later on we're going to be discussing what you can love as well, because I think that you can actually love things, not just people. Also, I'll be giving you a secret brand of tips for finding and understanding what true love is. Derek Anthony is going to be playing his latest release song that's coming out soon, and also the video is coming. I can't wait to hear it, and I can't wait to see the video. I've heard a lot of great things about the direction on that. So let's talk about, I think there's a difference, first off, of who you can love versus what you can love. And let's talk about who you can love. I think, you know, who denotes like a living, breathing thing, a living thing. You know, it doesn't have to be human. It can be an animal. But, you know, it's something that's living, and it's not a concept, it's not a body of work. So who can you love? I think you can love your parents, so let's talk about parents. I mean, they raised you, even if it's your biological parents, not your biological parents, adopted parents, whether it's that, whether it's foster care, whether it was your grandmother, your aunt, parents has that whole umbrella. So whoever raised you helped get you educated, trained you, you know, kind of gave you the standards of how to live. You know, how do you love them? I mean, I think that we love them differently in a certain love. What do you think, Derek?
For sure. You know, when you grow up, you really don't appreciate as a teenager, because you always think you're right. You think you're bulletproof and your parents are always nagging at you. But as you get older, that love turns into something different and hopefully respected. If you have some strong parents, which I have and still do, thank God, and still healthy. They're about 75, live in St. Louis. But they taught us to work hard and also play hard, but to make sure we have a roof over our head. But for now, as you grow in 20s, 30s, and 40s and 50s, what have you, we're looking to our parents as in a different spectrum of love. And now it's definitely respect and admiration and almost like a surprise on how the hell did you raise four kids in this small house, and how do we become such strong family and strong individuals? They did a great job raising four kids, and I'm the youngest of four, and I've never loved them so much now that I'm out of the house and have my own family and understand what they went through.
Yeah, I mean, it's your you know, experiences, you know, kind of your shared experiences and stuff like that, right?
I think it's awesome. I mean, I think that family is amazing, and I think especially when they go through hardships and stuff, to be able to produce kids that come out and they're sane and they're good and they do something, it's pretty amazing. What about you, Bill? How do you feel about the parent love?
Well, I mean, you know, if one of the universal truths in the world is, regardless of the culture or you know, your civilization that you come from, east, west, you know, whatever, due to your parents, filial piety. I mean, that's kind of a universal truth. I mean, all cultures across the world, whether, you know, you're living in deepest, darkest, you know, Indonesia or, you know, the Western civilization, I mean, you know, love for your parents is something that we value very much, because these are the people that brought you into the world and expended their energy, their resources, you know, their blood, sweat, and tears to raise you to the person that you are today. And so, therefore, you love them for it.
I agree. And I think that this type of love too, you know, there's always things. I mean, life is the way it is. Not everything's just rainbows and unicorns. And I think that sometimes, you know, parents can maybe get the tough end of the stick sometimes when things didn't go perfect. And I think that, you know, you have to take away the good morsels, the good parts of the parental unit and look at that. And I think you can love a whole situation that's whole. You can love that person no matter what happened. And in my parents, I mean, they're great. And they're good friends of mine. I love them. But I think that a lot of people listening have maybe not had the best of parents, perhaps. But in the end, there was something they did right. There was something they tried to push through.
Well, I was just about to say, actually, I know people that, in fact, I know, I'll just say it. My dad, who absolutely hated his father. Absolutely hated him. And when my grandfather died, my dad had no love for him at all. And I won't go, you know, kind of too much into the situation. Right. You know, my grandfather, fortunately, was an alcoholic. He's, you know, Derek, he's one of those mean drunks, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my dad, I mean, basically hated my grandfather. I take your point. I think it is possible to, you know, maybe not have any love for your parents, but something really major has to happen.
And I think also, I see what you're saying. I think too, also to that degree, I mean, if there are people listening tonight that have dealt with the same similar situation as your dad, there's a thing called forgiveness. And yes, I agree that somebody being a hardcore violent drunk is very hard to forgive. And it's should never forget. I think that you have to forgive the situation, because otherwise if you don't forgive the situation, there's something that's taken away from you. Because like we talked about earlier about how love is love and love is you. And so if love is kind of unrequited, no matter how it goes, you have to kind of like break that, you know, that tie.
You know, I think that's a great point. And I'll relate to one more personal experience with that, Ashley. You know, my own mother, you know, my parents divorced when I was 8. And my mom went through a really bad time after the divorce. She chose to deal with it in the wrong ways. And she wanted love. You'll appreciate this, Derek. She was looking for love in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know what I mean. Yep. And you know, she brought home a string of men, and you know, blah 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 blah. You know, I won't go into all the details. But anyway, let's just say that my brother and I mostly raised ourselves when we were teenagers. Okay, you know, I mean, we didn't have mom there to, you know, cook dinner for us and whatnot. We were pretty much on ourselves. Now, I could. I'd be lying if I say haven't struggled with this over the years. I could decide to hold that against her, but I've chosen, as I've grown older and matured, to say, "Look, don't judge a person unless you walked a mile in their shoes." Okay,
that's so true.
And so I love my mom, and I would, you know, do anything for her. But when the day comes when I'm ready to start my own family, then I've chosen to say, "Look, I'm going to take the positive aspects of my mom, and I'll do my very best to not repeat the mistakes she made."
That's awesome. And I agree. I think there are a lot of people listening that, you know, were raised by single parents, especially moms, that were looking out for maybe looking for a new boyfriend, looking for somebody, looking for somebody to be the new father. In those cases, it's hard because mom was out and about going to the bars, trying to meet people at night. And yeah, like you said, you have to forgive. There comes a time when you have to forgive. And I'm sure that, you know, she showed love the way she could. You know, and I think the one thing that we need to really take from this, too, is that parents really aren't that much older than we are, okay? So they're really kids, okay? They're just a little older kids that have kids, right? And they have these kids, and they don't know. I mean, even when you had a couple of them, they don't hand out a book that they stick into your brain, and they give you this microchip that says, you're going to be the best parent ever, and guess what? You're going to know all the Dr. Seuss back and forth, and you're going to know every sport, and you're going to be there all the time, and you're not going to do any stupid things. Well, you know what? That's just not the case. I mean, because they're young, and you know, it's just they're not God. You know, they're not above everything. They're human beings. You know, and so it's like we have to accept the faults and the good with the bad. But it's hard when you're a kid. You know, it's hard when you go home every night by yourself.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's not easy. And I understand. I mean, my parents worked all the time, and I understand how that is, cooking dinner for yourself, and you know, people getting home pretty late, and it's rough. You know, I look back, you know, when I was younger, I didn't really like it. I mean, I look back now and I guess it made me who I am today. I'm pretty, you know, I'm a loving person, but I'm pretty tough, you know, but I'm good tough. But I think maybe I learned it from that, you know, making my own dinners and taking care of my own stuff. You know, I don't know. I mean, Derek, I'm sure you had to do about the same thing.
It's as you guys are talking, I'm thinking about how kind of love is taken for granted. Mm-hmm. And for the positives in your life. The normal human nature is to point out the negatives and talk about the negatives. So I was fortunate. I've had a pretty stable childhood with a very solid footing within the household in St. Louis where I grew up. And my mom and dad were still hard workers, and we didn't come from hardly any money, but there was always food on the table and there was always love in the house. And we got to do basically what we wanted from a music standpoint and sports standpoint. And we were very active in the community. So I have no complaints. Somehow they pulled it off, and yeah, we were just fortunate. So I'd like to say publicly that, you know, I recognize that and I appreciate everything that they've done for us.
That's awesome. And I feel the same way about my parents.
And I was going to say, I mean, I don't want to seem like I was kind of ragging on my own mom, yeah, because I feel the same way. I've chosen to accentuate the positive and recognize the good she did and emulate it.
Yeah, and I agree. But I think there's a lot of things that everybody's not perfect. And I'm not going to lie and say that anybody's perfect, because nobody's perfect. You know what I mean? But I do think that we all have hesitations and issues, but at the same point in time, we have found love within the situation and we love everybody. And that's really good. And, you know, I think that's a good point. I want to go into the love of a spouse here when we return. We're going to talk about the love of a spouse, the love of children. And then later on, we're going to get into the love of things, the love of non-living things, and how you can actually love something that's not living. Because it's true, we do. We all do it to some degree with something that we love, with whether it's our job, our career, or something that really just takes us to a different level. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, well, I'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just joining us this evening, we've been exploring what love is on tonight's show. You know, we've been talking about who you can love, and that's where we are right now. Later on in the show, I'll be talking and giving you some secret tips and strategies and techniques to understanding what true love is and understanding when you're really, really in love. And I think that's something that's kind of good to know, because I think a lot of times we get, we don't know. We wonder, is it just like infatuation? Is it this? Is it that? And I think that's interesting. I'm also going to give you some tips on how to be in the heart space and how to really connect with that space and understand what love is universally. And that's something that you can take day by day and use every second of your life. Derek Anthony, country singer, is joining us tonight, has been giving his perspective on what love is. And we're very happy to have him.
Great to be here.
Well, great to have you. Great to have you. This is good times. This is good times. So let's talk about the spouse. I think this is big. The love for a spouse. The love for a spouse to me is really important, because it's one of those things that it's the only person that you're going to live with. Besides, I mean, and I'm not talking about roommates or girlfriends or anything like that, or boyfriends. It's the only person you're going to live with throughout a period of time of your life where you're going to grow with them throughout the ages, and you're going to change significantly throughout the process. And a lot of times people, you know, you want to kind of grow together. You don't have to grow the same thing together, but you want to grow together. So if one person's kind of stagnant and the other person's like significantly consciously growing, it's probably going to be a problem. But this has the most chance of failure, I think, because of all the pressure. I mean, because a lot of times people change their name. Like, I didn't change my last name, okay? And I got a lot of heat from it from my family. Not from my husband's family, but from my family, because, you know, family just likes to, they like to grind you on things, you know? So they always send me the letters, you know, with my last name changed, which I'm totally cool with that. I don't say anything, and it's never even my first name. It's Mrs. So-and-so. So yeah, it's got his full name with the Mrs. on there, and I'm like... Well, that's my family for you. That's my family for you. I mean, they just took my name off of it all together. You know, you're not going to change your name, or we're not even going to use your name, you know. But really, honestly, what I'm saying is that by changing your name, I think that's a big deal. And when people almost change their identity sometimes to get married. So what do you think about that? How do you think about, I know you're not married, Bill. I know you're not married. And I know that spousal marriage, but you were married at one time, right?
No, I came close. I was engaged.
Okay.
And you know, we came close. Unfortunately, it didn't... you know, work out. But I think that your point is very valid, mm-hmm, because, you know, although most divorces, like over half of marriages end in divorce, you know, unfortunately. But, you know, at least when
it's
you marry
sad.
That person. Yeah, it is kind of sad.
It's like rehabs only work 7% of the time. No, I mean, it's kind of sad. But yeah, but 50%, you're right. 50% of divorce. I mean, but I think that's
because
they don't know
how to
love.
But I think when you get married to a person, you at least intend for it to be forever.
I agree.
Most people choose some form of a quote-unquote traditional wedding where you go up in front of the altar and you exchange the vows and stuff like that. And people in other cultures, you know, do something similar, too. Mm-hmm. You know, marriage is an institution, and you're supposed to pledge yourself to each other forever.
And the institution. I like that.
Yeah. And kind of going back to a point that you made earlier, Ashley, you know, where if one person's stagnant, one person grows, that's an issue. But also I think another challenge is what if both people grow but just grow in different directions? That can also be a major challenge to overcome. And, you know, quite frankly, not everyone will succeed at that challenge.
I can understand that. I think people can grow, and I think a lot of times people allow things to get in the way of their happiness. They allow things to get in the way of the marriage. And a lot of times, like we talked about this before, the grass is greener concept. People see other people as being better particular spouses. So a guy is married for X amount of years, and he sees a woman. He's like, wow, she would be the best spouse. I mean, look at her. She's beautiful. She takes care of herself. She's got it all going on. You know, and you start, you know, thinking, well, what if, you know, but the thing is that the grass really isn't greener on the other side. I mean, you know, maybe she's got a raging alcoholic issue. Maybe there's all kinds of issues behind that, but it's really not about her anyway. She could be perfect. It's about that person thinking that something's better, because you can switch out and get something, but is it going to be better? I don't know.
Infidelity. There's another concept in country music, huh, Derek?
You guys have really struck a nerve with me. And the reason being is that I've been with the lady of my life since I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
And most folks on this planet probably can't say that. So we ended up dating for a long time and got married and have two beautiful daughters. And everything that you said, Bill, about growing either apart or differently or at a different speed, if you will, mm-hmm. is always the challenge with no matter what couples, and not just my specific situation, but to kind of talk a little bit about the music journey is I've always had it in me. I've always wanted to be a musician and a country singer, and I know there's bills to pay and responsibilities as a husband and as a father. And, you know, we talk about love on this episode in this program, and that's exactly what my spouse has given me. And I've reciprocated, and she's allowed me to do what I want to do with my passion and my drive. And I honestly, it's like oil and water with us, and I'm the aggressive one and she's the passive one, but it works. And yes, we have our challenges as a couple and as but one thing that we always agree on is how we raise our kids and how we discipline our kids. And that's a huge plus. And if that wasn't there, it would be a big struggle. So we talked about it since we were 16, how we'd raise our kids. If our kids did something, how would you discipline? And to the point, we were always in agreement with that. And so that's helped out quite a bit. So with my travel schedule and trying to push this music thing for the last 8 years, I had a day job for a long time and worked in the corporate world, but I just kept coming back to music. And again, about love and what love is, you know, if both folks grow in different direction and one or the other's willing to either give up or add to their schedule and make things work for that other person, I don't know if they can get bigger than that.
Well, I think you brought up a really good point, Derek, because, you know, I think one of the purposes of marriage is you go into it wanting to raise a family, to have children.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, why, you know, bother getting married in the first place?
Now, don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all.
Well, I was about to say that, you know.
This is perspectives here, and I don't agree with that at all. Not one bit.
Right. I mean, I know that you and your husband have chosen, you know,
we might have children. We haven't ruled it out yet, but I think that says a great deal about love, which is even harder because, like you said, what's the reason for getting married if you're not having kids? That makes it even harder because you don't have the kids, okay? You don't have, like, as you said, the children to raise and to figure out, you know, together, and that kind of bridges the gap, right? And, I mean, Bill, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have that gap builder. But on the opposite side, some people will say kids add to all kinds of headache, you know, and they're like, you know, if you think having a dog is hard, God bless you, because when you have a kid, your whole life changes. And I know what you're saying. I mean, but I don't know. I think you'd get married without kids. So.
Well, no, I mean, I was about to say, I mean, not that you have to have children in order to have a successful marriage.
No, yeah.
Because I've not only you, but I've also known other couples who are, you know, have a loving long-term relationship, you know, without that.
And there's a lot of jealousy with that too, because they go on trips, they have on cruises, they have a free life, and that's all good.
I love that. If you're watching this, too bad we're not on video here, but Derek actually put his hands toward me saying, "That's all good, Ashley. That's really good." But no, it's true. It's true. I mean, yeah, and there is a little bit of jealousy there. I mean, but on the other side, there's a little bit of yearning, I think, on the other side, because people, I mean, you know, it's a human condition to want to have a child, right?
It's a biological thing.
Procreate. Yeah,
be fruitful, multiply.
And use birth control when you need.
So, not everybody does, but I think a lot of people go into marriage, you know, with a specific purpose of wanting to have children. And so, you know, for your point, Derek, if you are not on the same page, you know, as far as that goes, because I've seen this in friends of mine whose marriages haven't worked out. If you're not on the same page as far as, you know, raising the children, that can put a pretty big wedge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, it's almost like the same idea as if you don't talk ahead of time. If you don't talk ahead of time and say, "Hey, I want kids," or "Hey, I don't want kids," and you get married and nobody knows what anybody wants, and all of a sudden the wife's looking at the husband going, "I want kids." And the husband's like, "I can't have kids," or "I don't want kids." That's a big deal. I mean, you got to know people. No matter what love isn't blind. You want to go into love with the knowledge that you can actually make this work, with the intent of making it work. But also, don't go in it blind. Love's not blind. It's not like the two dogs that eat the spaghetti in that one Disney film where they're eating the spaghetti together. It's not just all about that. It's about reality. It's about figuring it all out, and I think that's important. When we return, we're going to talk more about friends, children, pets, and then, you know, about the whole concept of what can you love, because I know that Derek will be able to tune in on that one, especially because it has to do with music as well. So stay tuned, because guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, I guess we'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in, we've been exploring love, what love means to us tonight. What is love? You know, whom and who can you love? Later on, we're going to be discussing what can you love? What things, the non-breathing things that you can love and cherish in your life. I'll also be giving you some secret tips on determining true love and also being able to realize and move yourself into the heart space. And in the heart space, you are love. You see love. You act in love. There is no more arguments. There's no more fighting. You take the high ground. That's what it's all about. So let's go back to who you love. You know, we were just talking about parents. We brought up that. We talked about spouses. Now let's talk about friends. And I think friends are a very interesting thing, because friends really do color our life. You know, some people can be in our lives for long periods of time. Other people, maybe a short season. But I think that I think anybody that really is your friend, you should have love for. I mean, you should find love for. But I think that people that have been in their long-term friends, I mean, those people they're hard to find. You know, they're good people to keep around, and you love them because you just love them. And they might be crazy. They might do some crazy stuff. They might do stupid stuff, but man, you love them.
Well, a phrase I've heard a lot of times, actually, your brothers by birth, but your friends by choice.
There you go.
And I think that, and also too, and I think this is another thing we have to keep in mind, is that there's different levels of friendship. I think a lot of people, especially in the Facebook age, a friend, you really mean acquaintance. And I think there's a difference between acquaintance friendship and, like, really, you know, true friendship. Mm-hmm. And I think people tend to use the two words interchangeably when maybe they shouldn't.
It's similar to how Google Plus does it, right? Acquaintances.
Yeah.
Friends.
There you go.
Family.
Yeah.
So there's social media has decided to start clicks in certain categories amongst your friends.
Yeah, there's different rings of intimacy.
I don't really do Google Plus, but yeah. No, I mean, but no,
you're not
I
missing
what you're
anything.
No, yeah, because what would happen if you put somebody in an acquaintance and I put you in as a friend?
Ooh.
What do they put you in as family?
that sounds like a reality TV
Unfollow.
Show, yeah. You know, you could write a script about that, actually.
I could. I've come to their house to ask them why they made me an acquaintance.
There's a country song in there somewhere.
Yeah, there is. You know? Yeah. I mean, I'm working. I have a new title for a new song. I've written the lyrics, but not the music. It's called Fast Food Society. because we live in a fast food society.
Oh my gosh, I actually talked about that in a lecture a few years ago about fast food medication and how, well, the concept, okay, so I do a lot of counseling, obviously, but the side about how people really want to go in and get a pill. It's the fast food. Pull up to the drive-thru, get the pill, and take it and change their life, even though that's not the way it works.
And I mean, not just food, but there's an analogy with similar to Twitter. So you have 130 characters to tell your story fast food, quick. Everybody wants an instant gratification like Snapchat and these other crazy apps, but... it's a fast food society for sure.
Well, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think that people are getting back to the basics, though. You know, the funny thing is that I think people are actually looking for more consciousness or looking for more truth. I just don't think they know that the truth exists. I think that they're, they've been programmed. I mean, quite honestly, and I'm not trying to sound like the Matrix here, but I am saying this show is out of the box, right? This show, the box wasn't even created. The box was off to the side. Someone else stole the box down the street. You know, we put an old couch out there. They took that too. No, this is reality. This is what the truth is. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. But I agree. Some people get confused. Some people, I just quickly got to get that, or I quickly got to feel what this is, or I need to quickly jump from relationship to relationship. Because I feel like there's a void there, you know, or I want to, or somebody, you know, drop me as a friend, so I want to become more friends with these people, whatever. And it's not real love. It's not real emotion. It's really just trying to fill their own personal void.
And I think friends are important to have if you have a mature spouse or relationship or marriage. That's another key component to have within your life and within your space. Yes, you want to spend time with your spouse and you want to go on date night and you want to hang out with the kids, but there's also a good kind of a refresh to hang out with your neighbors or your close friends or maybe your church group or what have you.
Yeah.
It's a needed, at least in my life, it's an awesome thing to have. We've had a lot of friends move away due to jobs, but due to social media, we've kept in touch and we're still as close as ever. And
sure,
we'll probably die being friends. That's how tight we are. But so the love for friendship is and friends in your life is key. And I think it's probably if there's an A and a B, it's probably B, A being your spouse, B being your friends, and obviously the rest of your family. So
right. In my case, Ashley, and you and I have talked about this on the show before, I only have, I would say, 4 or 5 what I call close friends. And I prefer it that way. I prefer a very small circle of true friends.
Ashley raises her hand here at the end of the table.
Right. And, you know, but I have dozens of what I would call acquaintances that I'm friendly with.
Casual friends.
You know, yeah. And I'll go, you know, have a beer with them, watch the game with them, you know, go to a party with them, hang out with them. Would I call them just a true close friend? Probably not. But that doesn't mean that we can't hang out and, you know, I won't do them favors or stuff like that. So I think we're talking degrees.
I agree. So. I think there's different levels. I mean, what about children? Let's switch over to children. I don't have any children. Bill doesn't have any children that he knows of.
That I know of. There was that one spring break in Padre Island, but we won't go there.
I went to Haiti. I mean, why not bring any protection? What are you going to do? Oh, you know, when was I going to be back in Haiti? Bad idea. Anyway, yeah, no. We don't have any children, but Derek, you have children. So tell us a little bit about what you think, you know, love for children are.
It's hard to describe when a new... new couple gets married and they want to have kids and 3 years go by and they get pregnant and they always tell everybody, you're not going to believe the endless and infinity amount of love that you're going to feel a whole nother level with the kids versus your mom and dad and your spouse. And sure enough, it's wholeheartedly true. It was awesome. I was there for both of the births and through labor, and she had a long labor for both of them. But man, when she came out, it was a miracle, and just, I cried and was happy and just a blessing to have in our life. And so as you move forward as a dad, infant stage where they're kind of gassy and they think they're laughing at you, but they just have a gas bubble and it's cute. And then you go through first child's always different than the second, third or fourth. The first one's always 8,000 pictures and videos. And second child comes along. It's like, where's that girl at again?
Here's another example, Derek. You know, the first child, it's, you know, emergency room, my God, yeah. You know, sick, you know, right. Midnight rush to the emergency room. The next child is like, he'll be all right.
Yeah. And first time parents are so cute. They're all just so loving and protecting their child, which is normal. But yeah, so as they grow, you have different levels of love, and there's a lot of tough love if you believe in that, which I do. And there's a lot of discipline. And one of the things as a parent, it's, and especially in today's world where a lot of couples are basically both working in the workforce and daycare and so forth and hardly have any time for the children anymore. But it's easier to say yes than it is to say no. So when you discipline your child, we feel, or I feel that there's a lot of parents out there to just say yes because that's the easy way.
Well, Derek, do you think that a lot of parents, they want to be their children's friends rather than their parents?
Yes, for sure.
So that's why they say yes all the time, because I want my child to
Be cool.
Me. Yeah.
I want to be cool. I want to be able to hang out with my teenagers and go to the movies and
go shopping.
For sure, and go shopping. But yeah, we're parents first and friends second. And it's important to keep that in perspective.
I agree. And let's switch sides a little bit, because I know that listeners that are listening, there's a lot of people that are empty nesters right now. They have animals, they have pets, they have cats, they have dogs. Whether they haven't had any children and they look at their dog or cat as their child. In those situations, I mean, that's kind of like your child. I mean, and so let's talk about pets and the love that we have for pets. And I think that that's very interesting, because I know a lot of people, especially even empty nesters that have, you know, dogs now, cats, or, you know, that never had kids. And those animals really are very, very important to them. You know, they love them. I mean, you know, no matter what, no matter if they roll around in dirt, no matter what they do, no matter if they pee or poop in the house, no matter what they do, they're like, man, I love this animal.
Yeah, and there's, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I know there's a stereotype of the cat lady, right? You know,
I know one,
but
I know several.
Yeah, but I think there is nothing right. There is nothing wrong with, you know, loving an animal, and because you know, that animal is definitely capable of loving you back.
Oh, well, yeah, animals are pure love. They're pure love. And that's the thing, is that an animal is pure love. That is what love is. I mean, animals do have animalistic tendencies, you know, I mean, as far as, like, you know, in the wild and what have you. I mean, but again, an animal is pure love. There's nothing, there's no negativity, there's no, you know, depression, drama, you know what I mean? There's none of the stuff that they're pushing on anybody, you know, there's no agenda.
Regardless of how bad your day was, when you come home, your dog is happy to see you.
And I have an animal love story, maybe on the other turn here, I can talk about a little bit.
Ooh, pretty I want to hear about that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I love animal love stories. I love love stories altogether. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more about animals and pets and how much we love them. We're also going to begin our discussion on loving things, things in our life. It could be anything from music to your job to art to gardening to whatever. So stay tuned, because we have a great show still left for you. We've got another hour. So when we return, we'll be talking all that and perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element. The home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in, we've been exploring what love means tonight. You know, we've been discussing what love is, what it truly means to be in love, to love someone. We were talking about who we love, the people we love in our life, whether it's family, spouses, girlfriends, friends, children. Right before the break, Derek actually told us that he had a pet story, a pet love story that he wanted to share, because I know that a lot of people listening tonight know how it is to really love a pet. I mean, people have children, and some people have children and pets, and other people don't. Other people just have pets, and it means the world to them, and pets can really change life. And let me just give a quick little story real quick before Derek gets into his. You know, before I left for the studio tonight, I've been feeling very bad, and so I laid down in bed, and I never do that unless I'm really sick. And I laid down, and my dog is kind of crazy. He's one of those crazy dogs that jumps all over the place, and he'll jump all over you, and he just wants to play all the time, and he'll throw his ball, and he wants you to catch the ball and do all this stuff. And it's so cute, and he ended up laying right next to me in bed, and, you know, I tried to sleep, but I couldn't. But he actually went to sleep. He was like snoring, and then obviously he was kind of barking. He was probably going through a process of, you know, catching a bird or trying to catch a squirrel or something like that, or running after a squirrel. But I don't know. It just comforted me so much, you know, that he was right there with me, and it meant the world to me.
He was giving you some love, man.
He was. He was saying, Mama, I'm sorry that you're sick.
I wish I could pet your back for you.
I wish you could have, too.
And that's an interesting thing. I mean, Derek, you know, because animals sense things.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, people, you know, sometimes say, oh, it's just an animal. No, I mean, an animal, I mean, is a living, breathing, feeling being. And right. They can sense things in people, even we don't realize it ourselves.
Yeah, so the story that I have is that basically the nonprofit organization that I do some volunteering for, and I kind of speak on their behalf sometimes, but we do all the run walks. It's called the NOCC, ovarian.org. It basically is an organization that points out and helps with the signs and symptoms to recognize for women. And the slogan is, it's more than a woman's disease, because it affects obviously the entire family. So we were invited to go to their national conference in Vegas. And they invited the doctors to come in and speak about the new findings and new facts and so forth. They have survivors that also show up. And we were in a big conference room. It was kind of late in the day. And one of the guest speakers or companies was actually a company that takes retired handler dogs, if you will, or CNI dogs that are already out of service and there's nowhere for them to go. So basically, they use these dogs and they test them for aggressiveness or passiveness, and making sure that they're lovable and love the human being, no matter if what size, what shape, what color. And they brought all the dogs into this conference room, and you would have been just shocked on how it uplifted everyone when all the dogs walked in, from an 80-year-old to a 12-year-old. Everybody was
yeah,
excited.
I've heard of that happening. You know, like elderly people who live in retirement homes or whatever, they'll do that for them too, and they just light up. You know, like a Christmas right. tree. It's really something to see.
And I lit up too. I was like, oh, look at that. That's yeah. cool. Come here.
Yeah. Everybody so, wants to get you know, and I think that, you know, your pet becomes, it's more than just an animal. It's really your baby.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people, you know, really feel that way towards their animals.
I do. I mean, it's my baby. And even when my mom, I mean, felt the same way about the dog, even when she had a kid. I mean, you know, it was cute, you know, it was just. Same, it's not the same as a child, but there is a lot of similarities. I mean, you know, it's like a child that never grows up, really. You know,
or talks back.
Yeah, I mean, it's like even when you've had a bad day, and right. You know, if you have, let's say you have a bad day, and you come home to your significant other, and and maybe your significant other doesn't want to hear it, or you know, oh yeah, well. What do you hear? What happened in my day? You know, that type of thing. But your animal is like, let's say you have a dog. Your dog, as soon as you walk in the door, it's like tail wagging, ears perked up. You know, I mean, no matter what kind of day you had, your animal still loves you.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. That is true. And I think animals are just so important. I think they teach children a lot of good values as well. I think they teach children at a young age about love and about true love, about real deep, real love. And I think it's really important because an animal, that's all they are, is love. So, you know, you got like extended family as well. We got what about our neighbors? So I know that they say, you know, love thy neighbor. You're not supposed to love your neighbor too much. Not supposed to covet your neighbor, but I know that you're supposed to love your neighbor. So, you know, I've always taken care of all my neighbors. I've always, you know, before I lived in the place I live at, I would, you know, watch their house when they were out of town or if there was something on their front lawn or whatever, I'd clean it up. I would take in their mail for them. And I genuinely cared about them, you know? I genuinely cared about them. And now, I mean, I don't do, like, mostly neighborhood watch anymore, but I do care about my neighbors. Do y'all have any stories about neighbors that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, for sure. I've been in the same house for 15 years. I live in the suburb of Keller, Texas, and we've seen neighbors go and come. And one thing for my wife and I and my family was that we didn't have any really family here in Texas, both all of our families from St. Louis and Austin and Charlotte. So it was nice and kind of a crutch to fall on to our neighbors, and our neighbors slowly turned into friends. And you wean out the ones that you kind of just don't gel as well as with others. But over a 15-year period, we've gained some really strong friendships and love for our friends. And it is a kind of a secondary family for us. And I think Bill may have said it in the previous segment, something about brother is blood, but friends by choice.
Yeah,
is that right?
Absolutely.
So, yes, it's kind of odd. I actually have a brother in Montana, but I'm not as close to him as I am with my friends in Texas. I mean, I kind of feel guilty about it, but it's just the life that I lead.
But your neighbors are there.
And my neighbors are there. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, so you're engaging every day with the, or every week or over margarita in the hot tub or whatever it might be.
The barbecue.
Yeah. Or barbecue. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, see, my experience is kind of the opposite of yours, Derek. See, I live in an apartment. It's a kind of a lower, you know, income. I don't want to say, you know, Roach Motel or anything like that. But, you know, I go to school and I'm financing my own education. So as you might be able to appreciate, I don't have a lot of disposable income. Right. So it's just a, you know, basic single bedroom, you know, one bedroom apartment. And so there's a lot of transient, you know, people move in and out all the time. So you don't really get a chance to establish that kind of relationship. And, and people who live there kind of keep to themselves. Mm-hmm. Even so, my next door neighbor who unfortunately just moved out, I was kind of sad. He and I actually, we got to be pretty friendly. And what do you know? Remember this, bad ice storm that we had this past winter? My truck was, you know, basically frozen in. I couldn't get out of the parking lot, and he had to go somewhere too. But he took his time to help me kind of chip my way out. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You know, when somebody you really don't know all that well still willing to help you out in a time of need.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I agree with that. And I think there's also like the love for animals, the love for Mother Earth, you know. And I think the funny thing about it is, the most important thing you can love is yourself. And if you truly don't love yourself, you really can't love anything else on this list. I mean, it really is paramount, you know, and it's to love your higher self, to see the greatness within you is so important because that allows you to see the greatness within other people. And I think that's paramount to everything that we do in life. You know, I mean,
I think one of the challenges that I feel that people, and I'm fortunate, I know what I love, I know what I want to do, but unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't know that answer, and I think they struggle with it. If what is their passion? Is it their kids, which is great? Is it their dogs? Is it their job? Is it something they've always inspired to do but afraid to take the risk? And is that love strong enough to push them over the cliff to take that risk? So there's a lot of, as you grow older and you mature as an adult, those are the things as you struggle with in the 20s and 30s and even 40s. And as you move forward, and people always, oh, you're too old, it's too late, or I'm too young, I don't think I can do that. There's all these outside pressures to kind of be in that circle, and that circle is a safety circle, and don't go out of that circle because that's not the American dream, or that's not how we raised you, or I think as a parent, and as my kids get older, I don't want them to be in a circle. I want them to do what they want to do, and hopefully they can make a living at it.
Right. And
you know, when Perspectives returns, we're going to be talking more about the things that you love. We're going to talk about music. Derek's going to sing us an awesome song. I can't wait to hear. So when Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, we'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. A glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, and I am your co-host and producer extraordinaire, Bill, and thanks very much for sticking with us on this Saturday evening. And look who rolled into the studio. We got Big Skinny in the house.
All right, all right, all right.
What's going on, brother?
How we doing tonight?
We are doing just wonderful, and we've got Mr. Derek Anthony in the studio tonight.
Oh, yeah, good friend of mine, great musician. Always good to have him here tonight.
So thanks very much for joining us tonight. Okay. We ended up talking last segment about our love for animals, love for pets. We're talking about different types of love. And now let's go on to things that, you know, are inanimate. It is possible to love inanimate objects or inanimate concepts.
Okay.
So, for example, music. I think that anybody can see that Derek loves his music.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's also possible to love art. And also maybe to love things like, you know, cars or houses or, you know, stuff like that. And, although I think that, maybe you dig yourself a hole because the English language doesn't distinguish between types of love very well. You just got to have to understand it in the context, Skinny. And, you know, I took some Spanish classes a couple of years ago. And most other languages actually have different words for different types of love.
A little bit of slang.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And, like, so for example, in Spanish, if you love someone romantically, then it's me amo. But if you love, if you like it or, you know, love something in different contexts, it's me gusta. You know, I like or I love, you know, this or that or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think you can get yourself into a trap by saying, oh, I love this, when you actually, you like it or, you know, whatever. So
it kind of appeases you. It's one thing I truly like is I love historical architecture.
Yeah.
You know, like in LA, I did some work downtown and I just love those older buildings. You know, I'm learning a lot more about downtown Dallas and
right.
Dallas actually has some exquisite history about it.
So you love your job.
I do love my job.
You know, and Derek, I think that, in your case with music, you know, it's. With Skinny, it's his profession as an architecture, and in your case, musician. In my case, an audio engineer. I think that it's more than just a job to us. It's who we are.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so when you say you love music, well, then you're really loving yourself.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of positive affirmation in a lot of musicians' lives. So we all like ourselves. It has to start there, and you have to be confident in what you're doing. And at the age of 6, I started singing in the back of the station wagon, and my parents encouraged me every day. And every weekend, we just casually hang out and have a party downstairs or in the station wagon and singing every song on the radio. And as a kid, I grew up in a lot of genres and really liked pop at the time. I liked 80s rock at the time. But I gravitated toward country because I sang it the best. And I felt as I matured and got into my higher teens and early 20s that lyrically it just drew me in. And it was right. strong lyrically. Country music at that time was Alabama and Kenny Rogers and Garth Brooks and George Strait, of course. So country western was kind of turning into country.
Yes.
And the westerns kind of dropped off and it wasn't so twangy. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Three chords and the truth is what country music is. And unfortunately, in my opinion, as an artist, stuff that's coming out today is kind of lost that.
The Nashville.
That tradition.
Yeah, the Nashville kind of
and
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But not just Nashville, but just there's some stuff in LA and New York. And,
well, yeah.
And Texas has its own following, which is awesome. Kevin Fowler's and the Pat Greens and the Wade Bowens of the world have mm-hmm. done very well in just touring in Texas. And it's sustainable. And that's kind of what I've done the last 8 years. And back to the love of music. I really knew that I loved it, but I didn't know that I really liked it and loved it and passion and just admired these talented artists. And I knew I could sing, and your family always tells you, oh, you're awesome, even though you could be terrible.
You're amazing like in the back American, of the station wagon tonight.
Yeah, like the American Idol contestants that go in and embarrass themselves, and they come out of the room, and they didn't get a pass to go to the next round, and their parents are like, I can't believe it. You're awesome. You were just, like, amazing. Like, these people are tone deaf. And if my daughter's bad, I'm going to tell her she's bad.
Isn't that one of Simon's big pet peeves? And the reason why he says he's kind of mean to people sometimes is that you don't stop encouraging your child if they aren't really good at music, because you're kind of setting them up for ridicule.
Right.
You know,
it's like if they could halfway ride a bicycle, would you say you're going to be the next Lance Armstrong?
Right.
No, you wouldn't.
Right.
You would buy a helmet and some pads.
Right. Yeah. Especially in my case. You know. So. So anyway, you know, speaking of love of music here, Derek has a new CD, new song coming out.
We have a CD, Cowboy Way, that came out in December, and a new single to Texas radio called Give It to Me Straight, as in George Strait.
Gotcha.
I know that he just had his last concert, which I believe
and
you
I was
went
there.
To.
Yeah, I mean,
Bill was there.
I went to this concert. Yeah, and you know, you talk about authenticity. I mean, you know, George Strait is a guy who loves his music.
Yes, and I was at the IndyCar race, so I missed the concert. There was 100,000 people at AT&T Stadium, and I went to the Indy race that night. There must have been only maybe 30,000 people. It was horrible.
Oh, wow.
Nobody showed up.
I've been to one Indy, and I mean, it was pretty full, but it's no NASCAR
it was empty,
full, shall
right.
I say. But,
yeah.
I mean, Indy's has got its own unique following.
Right.
So we got to go down in the pits, and we're working with some teams, and I have an in, so I'm starting to write actually a song for potentially IndyCar, so we'll see if they they like it.
That's what I like to hear.
Speaking of songs here, so you got a song that you want to play for us?
Yeah, so this is Give It To Me Straight, and it's the second track on Cowboy Way. You can actually find it. It was just released on iTunes and Amazon and all the major digital websites. Go out and Google or on iTunes, type in Derek Anthony, D-E-R-E-K Anthony. And the title is Give It To Me Straight. And actually, before I start the song, Big Skinny was actually in the video. And we'll talk about that in a
little
while.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after we hear this great tune.
So July 1st, it officially goes to Texas radio. Over 130 channels throughout the entire state of Texas. And
awesome.
So here you go. This one's called Give It To Me Straight. I'm carrying your love with me across my heart and on my sleeve, but you seem to be holding back for a while now. You may want to leave. You warned me it ain't cool to be crazy about you. He's the king of country through and through. Your baby blues not telling the truth, so give it to me straight. Give it to me strong. I don't care who's right or wrong. Don't hold back. Don't wait too long. Or do we just move on? I don't care what they say. It's never too late. Give it to me straight. Where has my best friend gone? Although you're here, I'm all alone. All those nights, one foot apart, you didn't speak from the heart. Just give it away, that pain that's deep down in your soul. Ain't no holding back those words of fear, even if we shed some tears. So give it to me straight. Give it to me strong. I don't care who's right or wrong. Don't hold back. Don't wait too long. Or do we just move on? I don't care what they say. Never too late. Just give it to me straight. Your hesitation from letting go and being true, I've come to expect it from you. So if I know me, I'll take it like a man, soak in each word and take your hand. Walk step for step on this broken sand. I'm telling you, yes, we can. I don't care what they say. Never too late. I don't care what they say. At the end of the day, just give it to me straight. Give it to me straight.
All right. Woo! Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mr. Derek Anthony, thank you very much. Great job. I love it.
So if you know of any George Strait songs, if you kind of listen to the lyric, I've actually incorporated his titles and some of his lyrics within my lyric to have it fit. So that's why, hence the title, Give It To Me Straight, as in George Strait.
As in
S-T-R-A-I-T. Yes. So the hook is obviously a couple not being honest with each other and stop messing around and just give it to me straight, girl.
There you go.
So, yeah, so we shot the video last month in Arlington at Howell Farms, and it was a great opportunity and a great experience, and we'll talk more about that at the next segment.
Great job. Okay. Yeah, so stick with us here on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, and we will talk more about Derek's song and his release of his CD and the video coming out, and we'll also talk a little bit more about the concept of love and whether you can love things like you do people. So stick here with Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, and we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, and I am your co-host and producer extraordinaire, Billy. And we got Big Skinny in the house. What's
hello,
up, Skinny?
Hello.
And we've also, of course, got the star of the show tonight, Mr. Derek Anthony, with a great rendition of his brand new single, Give It To Me Straight. So thanks very much, Derek.
Yeah, thank you. So the song is... the hook is about a couple not being honest with each other, and we talk about love tonight, and is love holding back or is love giving the truth? And if you hold back and you know you're going to hurt the one that you love, is that love or are they being unselfish? There's a lot of question marks. And one thing I didn't get to yet is that I'm actually writing a new song, and when Ashley told me the theme of the program tonight, right when I walked in, I had no idea. I'm writing a song entitled What's Love Supposed To?
Okay.
So it's a little different. And I told my daughter, she's like, what's love supposed to be? I'm like, no, what's love supposed to? Is it supposed to make you feel good? Is it supposed to hold a hand? Is it supposed to wipe a forehead? Is it supposed to hold your hair back? I mean, there's all kinds of
yeah. Well, what's the whole spectrum?
Because I think that's I touched on that at last segment. People say I think they throw out love, the word love, a little too
generically.
Yeah. I mean, so what is love supposed to do? Is it do you mean your romantic partner? Do you mean your friend, your neighbor, your sibling? Or do you mean your car that you worked, so hard for?
Is it a feeling? Is it an action? What is it?
Or all of the above.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all of the above. Right. And you just have to kind of put it into the correct perspective.
Very true. Very true.
So
if you're not to what Ashley mentioned before and what you have mentioned before, if you don't love yourself and true to yourself, it's kind of like even a deeper story of Give It To Me Straight. Like if you're talking to yourself, just be honest with yourself. Do you love her? Do you hate him? Do you want to be with this guy? Do you want to be with this girl? Work it out. If it's truly something you want to push forward to and be part of, then give it to me straight, baby.
Well, Derek, is love honest?
I would hope so, but I question it, because not just for me, but just for other relationships. I think there's a lot of people that do not want to admit to failure. And they don't try hard enough. Like one thing that my parents have always instilled in me is, dude, you better put your 100% effort into everything you do. And that even includes a relationship. Marriage is work. It is. I mean, yeah, there's some guys and gals out there that are married that may not have to work at it, but it's work. But at the end of the day, hopefully you get, there's a hook that I'm working on is that, are the good times as good without the bad times being as bad?
That's, I think that's a real interesting concept, because then you, how do you know when the good times are good if you also don't try to get through? And is love real if you can't make it through those bad times? Because they're going to happen sooner or later.
Right.
There's definitely going to be a semi-argument or a disagreement, one of those we agree to disagree kind of things. But, it's taken me a while, there's been some love in the past here and there, but, now they, like they say, you have to love yourself before you can truly love someone else. And
I really want to get into that on the next segment when Ashley comes in to finish the show with us. But, I'm not sure that if you're not capable of receiving love, can you then love someone else? There's a country song for you there, Derek.
Yes.
I'll take a finder's fee for that song. But,
yeah.
But just to kind of, wrap this little segment up, so talk a little bit more about, so you've got this single that's being released, and you got a CD and you got a video. So kind of talk about that.
Yeah. So check us out. July 3rd, we're going to be at South Lake Town Square for the big Stars and Stripes Festival. We are the headliner at 8:30, and we're going to videotape. So come out and be with the live audience. You'll be able to hopefully make the video for some live performances that we'll post on YouTube. Bring a blanket, bring chairs, come on out for the live concert, 8:30 to 11. Billy Bob's, we're going to be at Billy Bob's July 16th through the 19th, four nights in a row. And then also check us out. We're going to be at JEXA, Tim McGraw on August 8th and Luke Bryan on September 20th. Nice. So we have a lot of good, exciting things happening.
You're getting some exposure.
Yeah. So my band is the D-Train Band. So a shout out to Jim, George F., and Johnny Rhodes and Gary Cox and Kyle Lewis. One of the best bands you will ever see in the state of Texas. So Wonderful. You should come out and see us.
Now, one more time, when's the CD coming out?
CD is out now, and then the new single from that CD is Give It To Me Straight, July 1st for the world premiere video release as well. So go to my website, DerekAnthony.net, D-E-R-E-K, Anthony.net, and check us out.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Derek. Appreciate all the info, and really good luck to you on your music career.
Thank you so much.
And you know, continue to follow your passion, you know, follow your love, because that's what it's all about. Well, let's segue then to continuing our conversation about what can you love, and you know, what is love, what can you love, and you know, of course, we've been exploring you know, some of this on the show tonight, and what we're doing, if you're just now tuning in, we're analyzing what you can love, not who, but what, and what it means to be truly in love. Later, we're going to discuss love's pitfalls and what you can do to avoid or maneuver around those pitfalls. And then Ashley will wrap up our show tonight and give you her secret brand of tips. Derek, this is called a teaser.
Okay, got it.
instead of a kicker, it's called, yes, a teaser. She will be giving you her secret brand of tips for finding a lover, a mate, and making a good go of it, okay? But let's kind of, you know, let's continue our discussion on loving, for lack of a better term, inanimate objects or concepts. And again, in Derek's case, it's music. Skin, in your case, it's architecture. In my case, it's you know, audio engineering. Can you love a car?
I mean, love a car.
But see, here's the problem I've always had with that. I think there's a pitfall as far as loving inanimate objects, because I think people get so wrapped up in material things that at some point, aren't you in danger of losing your soul?
Well, I wouldn't say you'd lose your soul. I mean, I've got a good friend of mine who's an amazing horticulturist, and he loves the plants, the flowers, the exterior, but he also loves to see people's expressions when they see his work. So that could be a love that would be a little bit different, that would kind of be a pay it forward love.
Okay. Well, okay. So you know, plants, and he loves his horticulturist, but does he love his house?
Yes.
Does he love his car? Does he love them as much or more than his plants? I mean, could he be a horticulturalist and love his plants if he were homeless living under a bridge?
Of course.
So. You know what I love? I love the present. People, in my opinion, people don't live in the present. They're always wanting to talk about what happened in the past, and they always want to talk about where they want to go.
Right.
And one thing that you'll see in my songs that I write is that there's a lot of positive affirmation. There's a song that's not on the album that's already been produced. It's called My Time to Shine. So in everybody's life, they always have these naysayers that push you down. And I'm not the exception. It's all over the place. And so if you feel like you're getting trampled on, you feel like everybody's saying no, and you're trying to maybe get out of a rut or potentially go to a next level, and you have these tangible things or intangible things pushing you down. So the song talks about it's your time to shine, and really proud of that song. But in terms of living in the present, I teach my kids that all the time, and they're always talking about, oh, I can't wait for next week, or I can't wait to do this. I'm like, look where we're at now. We're healthy. We're happy. We have a roof over our head.
Because it could definitely be worse, right?
And you watch too much Netflix. So get out. Go. I mean, it's like the kids today, they don't even go outside. I mean, I have girls, so it might be different. But go ride your bike. Go play ball. I mean, the old days of going to the park and hanging out till it gets dark is just no longer.
When the lights come on, it's time
to
come home.
I'm digressing. I'm sorry.
Well,
so anyway.
I mean, I think that's a good topic you touched on, though. Because mm-hmm. even when I was a kid, I'm dating myself a little bit here, Skinny, so don't laugh.
Really?
You know, I remember when, you know, Atari and Nintendo first came out.
Oh, yeah.
And so
Super Mario.
Super Mario. There you go. Pitfall Harry, too. That was one of my other favorite ones. But you know, when I was a kid, you know, we would meet over at somebody's house. You know, I had a best friend. His name was Matt. No relation to Big Skinny here. And we would play on his Nintendo system, you know, for about an hour or so. Then we would, you know, get bored of it.
Drink Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and go out and do something. But, you know, Derek, you're
the non-alcohol type.
Yeah, yeah. Or it would freeze up, and then you got to pull it out and give it the...
I don't know, so... wouldn't it be funny if you accidentally spiked your kid's Kool-Aid and all that?
Do you know that I think the Gatorade today is the new Kool-Aid? If you ever taste a Gatorade, it's so sugary. Like, I love Gatorade. It's better than soda.
Sugar is evil.
It's better than soda as far as health standpoint, but
yeah.
It tastes just like Kool-Aid. Like, yeah. I used to drink a pitcher of Kool-Aid where your stomach would wishy-wash after you get done with it as a kid.
Gosh. Be a little waterlogged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know what you mean.
That's love, baby. Kool-Aid's love.
Kool-Aid, well, sugar Kool-Aid is love. Yes. So, yes. But yeah, I mean, I think your point is right. I mean, we've got the iPhone, the iPad, the, you know, computers and stuff like that. And I've said this on this show many, many times before. It's a real pet peeve of mine. I've seen people literally sitting as close as we all are to each other, texting each other rather than speaking. And it drives me nuts. And so, you know, I think you have to be careful about when you say you love material things.
I can comment on that. I was walking through my little homeland, the Shops of Legacy. I'm walking past a little restaurant bar patio area. There was a nice looking couple, you know, out on a date or whatnot. They're both just sitting there texting, not talking or anything. I walked by and I said, "How's y'all's first date?" And just kept on going.
Wow. Well, that's my point, is live in the present. Put your phone down. You engage in conversation. And if you can't think of anything, then, man, something's really wrong.
Something's definitely wrong. About. I mean,
talk about the Rangers. Talk about the Cowboys. Talk about the weather. Talk about something.
Right.
Talk about Derek Anthony's new single. Talk about that.
And his new single, his new video, his new CD. And, by the way, go and check it out. And you can go to – what's the website again, Derek?
DerekAnthony.net. And it can be found on all major digital websites as
well. Great. Well, thanks very much. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and go to break now. And when we return, the lady herself, Ashley Burgess, will be here to give us all her secret brand of tips to finding a lover, a mate, and making a go of genuine love. So we will be back in two shakes. I can lift you up.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess, and I think we've had a great show for you tonight. We talked about love, we talked about who you can love, what you can love. We really talked about music and how much music can stir the heartstrings and really change lives just by listening to it. You know, Derek Anthony joining us tonight really, he just really painted us a wonderful picture of what music means to him and how much that means and the love that he has for what he does and the love that we have for what he does as well. I mean, I haven't felt that great tonight, and I think that all our listeners probably realize that. And even throughout the whole endeavor, listening to Derek's music, you know, still gave me hope, and it still made me feel happy.
It uplifted you, didn't it?
And it uplifted me.
Yeah,
so, just like a puppy dog.
Like a puppy dog. And so let's talk now about, I'm going to tell you a little bit of secrets of how to get into that heart space. And what I mean about the heart space is that we all are love, right? The main thing that us humans have is love, and the only emotion that we can honestly have is love. I mean, hate and all the byproducts are actually fake. They're not real. They're just a condition of the human psyche as well as the ego, and the problem lies within that. And so when you actually try to live in the heart space, you don't even have to do meditation at this point. We can do it without it. Living in the heart space means that you're basically living in the heart. So, for example, when someone comes up to you with an argument, an issue, whether it's your spouse, your friends, coworker, okay, and they come up with an issue, an argument, and they try to fight with you, they try to get in your face, they try to argue, whatever it is, it's taking the high ground. It's not taking the high ground in an egotistical way either, okay? It's not like, oh, I'm going to take the high ground and you're just an idiot. No, it's not that at all. It's more like, okay, I'm going to show love and I'm going to embrace this person with love, because anytime you actually embrace somebody with love, no matter what they're doing, unless they're a complete psychopath, they're going to tone it down. They're going to calm down. They're going to look at you, and they're going to reevaluate their tone of voice, and they're also going to reevaluate the way they're acting, because it's going to look so absurd. And if you truly do love this person and you show them love, it can never be a bad response. They can never respond badly. And I think all of us, Derek, Bill, I know that we've all done this before. We've had somebody come to you and kind of put you on the hot seat or maybe start an argument with you and want to have a fight with you. You know, either it's an emotional fight It could be family or friends, and you know, you want to escalate it. You want to get to that next level. You want to you want to win.
Or somebody in the airport.
Or somebody there for you want to win, you know.
Kill them with kindness. That's what I say.
Well, you know, love them, you know. And I think the kindness thing, I think it's because we do what we want to. You do back what you want to get back.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? And because karma is so funny. Because isn't that funny? Like, let's say you run into somebody in the airport, something happens. And instead of the argument, you know, the argument might take place, but it's not like 10, 15 minutes later that you happen to be on the other side of that again. You know what I mean? But you're the one that the person's yelling at, you know, or vice versa, because you're doing the same thing that somebody else did 30 minutes ago that you couldn't stand.
And, oh, gosh. And when that happens to me, it's just like, oh, shoot me in the head, you know, because kind of to your larger point there, you know, I happen to be a pretty competitive person.
Me too.
And I'm a perfectionist. And but on the other hand, I'm also passive aggressive. And so and Ashley's eyes just rolled for all of our listeners out there. You know, she hates that about me. I know. And it's something that I try to constantly work on. But yeah, you know, when somebody, you know, does something bad to me, you know, my reaction to it is, well, first of all, I stew on it. Mm-hmm. And that's not a very good thing. But also, I tend to, you know, get back at them by, you know, just saying, oh, okay, fine. You know, everything's fine, you know, and just kind of go on about my business. And it's not healthy, you know, to mm-hmm. deal with stuff like that. But I find I do it with my girlfriend, with my parents, with my friends. Even to you, Ashley, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know, but that's okay. I mean, I'm cool with that. You've been a great producer and a great friend for a long time. I can take some of the subtlety issues because I love you for the whole person you are.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, I understand all of us have our defense mechanisms, you know, whether it is that or anything else. And I think that when you finally – it takes a little while to try it out, but once you try it and you do it for real, and let's just say it's your wife, you know, comes in – or your girlfriend or boyfriend, and kind of starts to pick a fight because they had a hard time at work, or they had someone that kind of, you know, dished on them. I mean, it's really easy to kind of get in that mindset and say, I'm going to win this, or it's not about me, or you don't fight with me, you know, it's not my fault, you know, it wasn't my fault, I didn't do that. Instead, be like, you know, I love you, I care about you, and it's amazing. It might take 4 or 5 different times to basically, you know, bring it to the love state with that particular person. But once you do, all of a sudden, it's diffused. The argument's diffused. It's like dynamite hits. Somebody threw water on the dynamite, and they threw it off to the side, and it's done. It's gone.
One of the things that I kind of not really preach but believe in is that for every action, there's a reaction. And this reaction, to your point, is either negative or positive, or maybe there's no reaction. Maybe that's the best reaction.
And that's what love is. It's no reaction. You're not reacting to what they want you to react to. So your ego – so let me explain this. Your ego is different from you. Your ego tells you when somebody says, Derek, I'm so mad at you. You screwed up. Whatever like that. Your ego wants – that was a good, like, you know, drill sergeant sound.
Yes, drill sergeant.
Yes, drill sergeant. So when that happens, you know, you want to sit there and say, no, I didn't, Ashley. I did not. I did everything right. That's what your ego wants to say. Instead – it's like we swallow our ego. It's not swallowing your pride, people. It's the ego. And you go, what's going on, Ashley? What's really happening? And let them talk and then be, hey, I love you. I care about you. Let's just calm down. And it does work. It really is a miracle how it works because all of a sudden it just shines light on the fact that this is absurd. I mean, it just is absurd. But the only reason we let it escalate is because we don't want to be the one that's wrong. We want to win because our ego wants to win because we've been trained our whole life that you're supposed to have good ego.
You know, Ashley, something you just said is really making me think because I never thought of it before. Your ego is different from pride. So, is that what you just said?
Totally different.
I never knew that. I thought they were one and the same thing. And I guess maybe that's explains why I sometimes struggle with that because you're exactly right. I don't want to lose. I mean, I want to win. You know, at a discussion, argument, or whatever.
Well, it's because we all take things personally, okay? We're humans.
And I do take things personally.
And that's what the ego does. So you can have pride in your work, right? Derek can have pride in his music. You know, Bill, you can have pride in all the work and production that we do and all the shows that you produce and, you know, filling in when I'm passed out on the floor and everything else. But, you know, you have pride in that. And I have pride showing up, even though I probably needed to be here like I needed a hole in my head. But however, that's pride, but the ego is the other side. The ego is sitting there saying, when somebody says to you, you argue with them, you fight with them, just because the ego always wants to win. But that's where you get the word egotistical, egocentric. That's where we get, you know, people that kind of go off to the deep end. Because, you know, some of us always feel lesser than. We feel that everybody else can do things better or seem to do things better. But then the opposite of that is this egotistical side where it's their egos are so big and so massive they can't get it into the room, you know? And that's based on not the love. When you don't show love to people and you don't give love freely, there's love with attachments. That's part of ego too. And I would really like to do a whole show on this, quite honestly, because I think it just really, everybody listening to tonight has experienced this to a degree. Because unless you have really done a lot of heartful soul searching, you really aren't truly living in the heart. And I think first off, to begin living in the heart, you really have to love yourself, and you have to see yourself for who you are and all of God's gifts and everything that were given to you and all the things that you've worked on to create what you have. And that's amazing. Nobody else can fake that. Nobody else can copy that. And, you know, Derek, having you on tonight has been so special. And, yes, you know, you are an individual. You are you. And I love you, and I'm glad to have you here, and I love your music, and I love what you've been giving back. And so keep doing it.
Thank you so much. It's been an awesome time. Hopefully I can come back and do it again.
I'd love to have you come back.
All right.
I swear my energy level will be higher. I swear.
July 1st. Don't forget. World premiere.
I'm there. July 1st. We're in it to win it. Bill.
Yes, ma'am.
As always, you did a rocking job and you saved it up.
Well, you know, I mean, this is what I love to do. And even though when things don't go according to script, you know, it's still a challenge, and it's something that I relish. And when we do a good job at the end of the day, then that gives me a better feeling than any drug could possibly do. And I tell you what, and I'm really impressed with you, Ashley, tonight, because like we said, you know, you're not feeling at your best tonight, but you have really stepped up, and I'm just so impressed. And you've hit it out of the ballpark as always. So thank you very much just for being you and just for being here.
Man, I love that. That makes me feel good. That makes me feel so much better. That makes me feel better than all the Pepto that I drank just a little while ago. So we got a great show for you next week. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. It's going to speak right into your heart, and it's going to help you see life in cool, different perspectives. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, your host, will be back in, well, you know what? We'll be back in three shakes.